Here I am, and I've got an announcement for you. From now on, beginning next weekend, whenever I'm doing open lines, it's going to be unscreened open lines. No more screening when we do open lines. We're just going to let it ring, and I'm going to just pick it up the way I used to do in the old days. I can do that here, so we'll let the screener go take a little coffee break or whatever it is a screener does when the screener isn't screening. And we'll do unscreened calls beginning next weekend. Coming up in a moment, Gordon Michael Scallion is a futurist, and he's author of The Future Map of North America. I've got a big copy of it out in my hot tub room. He is the editor of Intuitive Flash. That's a newsletter which contains his latest insights on the future and how consciousness is forming that future. In 1979, he experienced a health crisis, which led him on a path of self-discovery and eventually resulted in his ability to access higher states of consciousness. This access allows him to view future realities where you will get glimpses of what our world will be like, from technology and future societies to the consciousness of children born with super mind powers. So coming up in a moment, Gordon Michael Scallion is going to move away a little bit, although we'll get an update on Earth changes. That's what he's concentrated on pretty much. And tonight we're going to talk about possession. Stay right where you are. Gordon Michael Scallion, it has been a long time, my friend. Welcome back.
Welcome back yourself.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my notes before I came over here to my studio, and I see that we've been doing this almost a decade, or over a decade.
Don't remind me, but you're right. It's been about that long.
Yeah, I remember back then we were talking about the things that were going to happen with Earth changes, tornadoes and floods and ice melting and things of that nature.
And it all seems to be underway.
It does seem that way.
Gordon, before we turn to an unusual topic for you, possession certainly is unusual for you. What about all the predictions you made? Now, certainly to some degree, it has all started to become true. Is there any way to sort of reflect on what you told me so long ago? I recall you said I would be guiding people out of California after a terrible disaster, a big earthquake, and so forth and so on. Is that still all ahead of us?
Yeah, I believe it is. I don't believe it's changed. The timeline is difficult. When a visionary or a futurist or anyone looks at some prophetic vision of potential realities, it's hard to get timelines. You have to look at like little signs along the way that might indicate, you know, when something might happen. So, you know, I was really off, as was many others, like Casey. We all saw this happening around the turn of the century, and it didn't. Mm-hmm. Yet the patterns that we spoke about are happening. So it seems like it's occurring, but it's occurring later. It seems like it's moving now, and we're heading towards something. I mean, we're getting tornadoes where we just didn't have them before, and we're seeing massive melt-offs. So
it's horrible.
Yeah,
absolutely horrible. And the changes are clear. And I think even most of the scientists now are on board. There are, of course, a few detractors, the administration and a few others. But most of the scientists are pretty much on board now and saying it's underway. It's not in the future. It's happening now.
There is a consensus now. I mean, there's still a group that the argument now is not so much that global warming, whether it's here or not, because that was a big issue. Was the conspiracy issue. And now the issue is what's really causing it. So now, consciousness has changed. It's got to the point where it's grown enough so that we see the reality of what's happening. We just turn on TV every day and we see another aspect of it. But now the question is, what's really causing it?
That's right. Do you have any input on that yourself?
I think it's a duality of things that are going on. I believe that the Earth's pole, a pole shift that I have been speaking about for since 79, I believe it has occurred. I believe it's begun. and that the core of the Earth itself has slowly shifted its position. So if we can see the core is moving at one speed and the mantle working at moving at another speed, this has shifted somewhat. And that's what I believe is triggering the increase in temperature from the core outward. At the same time, you know, we see a relationship with the sun. I mean, you know, we almost had a double sunspot cycle. You know, we're seeing a lot of activity on the sun that we just hadn't noticed before. Now that we have, you know, satellites pointing at it and studying it, we can see the patterns.
It's true, and now the scientists are predicting this coming sun cycle to be perhaps one of the biggest ever.
I believe it's going to, you know, back in the 50s, the IGY years, you know, I was really, you know, like you, I was very active with ham radio and emergency preparedness, and so I was very active during those, during that sunspot cycle. Well, I think this one is going to be many times that. I think
many
we're gonna,
times.
Yeah, I think we're going to be right off the charts on this one. I think this cycle is not only going to be more powerful, but I think it's going to last a lot longer.
There are those who predict some sort of cataclysm from the sun. And indeed, there were, as you well know, Gordon, a couple of explosions from the sun that, had they been Earth-directed, would have been cataclysmic.
Yeah, and these are recent too. I mean, I assume you're talking about the recent activity that's going on, and you know we're supposed to be at the bottom of a cycle here, and yet we're seeing this this massive release of energy. And then, you know, I track what happens when we have these kind of flares, regardless of whether they're pointing at Earth or not. How does the Earth react to this? You know, because my sense is that the sun and the Earth are exchanging energy back and forth, like a sine wave almost. So what happens in one affects the others, and it's not just thermal, you know, radiation. It's other kinds of energies that are going on as well. So we're seeing, you know, things that just are unprecedented, and you know we're building to some crescendo that's going to happen, you know, at some point in the future.
Seems entirely reasonable to me, Gordon, that what happens on the sun affects the Earth. And what happens to the Earth affects those who live on it. There's some kind of connection between human beings and what's going on with the Earth. Therefore, the Earth and the sun both affect us. Is that fair?
Absolutely. It's absolutely. I mean, you know, we can see it in you know, in many ways. We can, you know, if we look at ancient tree rings, you know, we can see the cycles. We can look at the Maya prophecies. We can also look at, you know, what happened to civilizations when there was excessive solar energy. You know, there was, and so in history we can see patterns that occur. As I believe in cycles and I believe in patterns. I try to nail down and be specific about when I think a pattern is going to occur. And so it's a difficult thing at best, but you know we're in the middle of it now, and we're actually watching this whole cycle unfold. And the effect on people is much more than weather related, and that's the kind of information that's been pouring into me for the past 2 months of the effect that the combination of the sun and the Earth and what I call the borderland is now having on its people.
No, I think it's profound. Now, you've always done Earth changes, and I'm very, very curious how you got to the subject of possession. I mean, it seems a world away. Maybe not.
The original information that I received in 79 dealt with Earth changes, and then there was another series of things that happened in 1980 and 81, which was about the borderland, which I knew nothing about. I didn't even know it existed, which is, you know, it's the realm of spirits and ghosts, and when the soul leaves the body, and these different levels that it goes to before returning to Earth as reincarnation. And I didn't understand any of that, and it was really difficult for me to fathom it because of my my Catholic background. You know, those were things that I just wanted to stay away from the devil, stay away from all that stuff. And then in my book, Notes from the Cosmos, I included, you know, a chapter titled Crisis in the Borderland, which was based on those visions. And I put it in there because one of the things that the insights that I had said is that when we start to see these weather changes and geophysical changes, at the same time, we would see activity on the sun, and that would be followed by society, the consciousness of society changing. In particular, it would change with teenagers and young people. We would see the greatest change there, and they would do things that we would think at the time would not be possible. And then, of course, in the late 90s, we had Columbine, and that kind of started the whole, at least bring into focus the whole violence that's going on in schools and continues to this day. And so this energy of possession was kind of in the background for me, and it was there, and I understood that there was some relationship to it, but it wasn't enough for me to continue exploring that because I didn't have a continuous series of visions on it.
Gordon, that we have been probably talking for about a decade. About a decade ago, Gordon, is when I was interviewing Father Malachi Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And he specifically talked all the time of possession. He was, I think you know something about him, right?
Yes, I do.
And he was an exorcist, and he, without any shadow of any doubt, believed firmly in possession. And it was a decade ago. He told me that it had recently gone up about 800% in the area of his realm, which was, you know, the New York area, about 800. It took a jump of about 800%. Now, that would relate directly to what you were just talking about with the change in teenage behavior.
I'm aware of him, but I haven't heard his tape or the interview you did with him, but I've been aware through your show of your interview with him. But it is interesting because a lot of people of faith have been talking about possession for long time periods, and I kind of dismissed it. A lot of it is hellfire and damnation, and I'm looking for some kind of substance to, you know, what's really going on and what's really happening and how is it happening? You know, how is possession possible? And so in my out-of-body experiences, you know, I ventured into the borderlands, and I was able to learn more about it. Now, this is not a new thing. I've been doing this for some time, mm-hmm. but it's the kind of thing that it was part of my own journey to understand this rather than something that I would, go public with. I did, like I said, include a chapter in my book, but that was about it. And it wasn't until I started getting these incredibly strong visions, and it began last September, and it was a daily thing, not a monthly or once a year, but a daily thing. I'd get little snippets of it, and it was indicating that the borderland itself has become so, I guess the word would be polluted, the lower astral realm, that the energy of the air...
Excuse me, is that what the borderland is? I want to understand clearly, when you keep saying borderland, is that the area sort of in between?
It's from the physical earth. The levels that go up, of which there are seven, the lower ones are called the astral planes. It's kind of the place where you see ghosts and things of that nature.
Okay.
And the lower one is the area where you also find the people who have passed over, who had a lot of unresolved issues, suicides, murder, death, the whole thing. So there's a lot of violence in there, and okay. that whole area has become choked with negativity. And that negativity then is since it's the closest level, the astral level, to the physical earth, it's a perfect conduit for energy to flow back and forth. So if you have young people who are misguided, are lost, alcohol or drugs, and on top of that, you provide a vessel for these negative forces. We can call them demonic, we can call them whatever we want, and they can be groups. It doesn't have to be an individual. It can be a whole group of this acting as one entity. And they can literally feed on a physical person who's susceptible to it. in which case you then see these actions that people say, he was a nice guy. I don't know how he could have ever done that. You know, you get
a lot of that all the time.
Yeah. And it's growing, and it's growing so much so that usually when I have these ongoing visions, it tells me that it's building for something else. Something else is about to happen. Something that probably on comparison to Earth changes. And that's what's going on right now. I think we're about to see some major influence. If we look around the world, we see it with the holy war that's going on now. We see the hatred that's going on. And it's the Palestinians, and it's in Iraq, it's Iran. It seems like the Middle East is like a focal spot, because we've had millennia of that kind of hatred going on. And so it's a perfect feeding ground for possession. And so the Middle East can only go in one way, regardless of what we might attempt to do. It has to erupt.
I can feel it, Gordon. I'm not sensitive to the degree that you are, but I'm telling you right now, I can feel something really big on the horizon. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Well, you know, my wife Cynthia is a sensitive, and my experience has been is that most people feel like they don't have the ability to sense the future, but they have the sense, because they always refer to it as I have a feeling about it. And those are kinesthetic people, and kinesthetic people I found are highly accurate in their own way. They may not do it as a living, may not be known for that, but they really have a sense about doing things. And I see that in the financial world, especially people who are in the market, you know, they just have a feeling about things. They're highly intuitive.
Mm-hmm. All right. Possession is the actual, well, all right, I'll let you do it. What is possession? Define possession.
Possession is when a non-physical entity, we can call it an individual's a spirit or a group of spirits, and where they are impressing themselves or their vibration onto our physical body. Now, it does this through one of our bodies is called the etheric body. We can look at it as a double of our body. If you were to take the physical body away, the etheric body could be considered like an astral form. It could be considered, this is your ghost form. Well, that etheric form is a very susceptible part of our physical bodies. It's part of our protection system of our body, if you will. It goes back for history. It's from the time of, you know, millions of years ago when we were developing certain skills for survival. Well, the etheric body developed, and it's a sensory thing that can project itself outward. Mm-hmm. And that same thing that you project outward can also move the other way. So possession is where a spirit or a group of spirits will attach themselves to this etheric body of ours, and they kind of feed off of it. And as long as the thought patterns of an individual are a certain way, then it can stay. It feeds on it. Now, if that individual comes in contact with, say, another student who's also, you know, misguided, now that energy builds, and then that same possession can literally possess more than one person at the same time.
Can you define the kind of personality or the place a personality gets that makes them so susceptible to being possessed?
Whenever somebody turns so inward on themselves, where their thoughts are highly focused, you know, possession works when the thoughts of an individual are repetitive. It's like playing a record over and over again. So during the period of a day, 24 hours, the same thoughts are running. Those thoughts are what allow this possession to begin to occur.
All right, hold it right there. We're at a break point. Gordon Michael Scallion is here. Not Earth Changes tonight, although I guess in a way they are possession. Here I am indeed. My guest is Gordon Michael Scallion. This night we're talking about Not Earth Changes so much, although in a way it is, but possession. Now, I mentioned about a decade ago, I did actually a full series of interviews. I don't know how many there were, quite a number with Father Malachi Martin. And if I was not a believer in possession, I certainly was when that set of interviews was done. He was a Catholic priest. Father Martin was very close to several popes. He spent quite a bit of time advising popes and in the Vatican. He knew what he was talking about, and what he talked about was possession. As I mentioned, he frequently said that possession was going up dynamically, up about 800% in his particular geographic area. That's a lot, 800%. That's what we're talking about this night. We'll get right back to it. Gordon, Chris in Wellsville, Ohio asks, are you saying that obsession leads possibly to possession?
I think we can. We can make a correlation to it, but it's the type of focusing you're doing or obsession you're doing. Typically, in the past year, I've been working with lots of people who thought they were possessed, or their family thought they were possessed, and in 99 cases out of 100, they weren't. There were other issues, but there were several that clearly were. But the commonality that I see is that when they start becoming obsessive, compulsive obsessive, it's usually that they start to take their energy and they see an enemy out there. Now, the enemy could be society, it can be God, it could be their parents, it could be the school, the friends, but they simply are constantly feeding that thought. And that's the thought that allows this little crack to occur in the etheric.
Mm-hmm. And that's what lets it in.
It lets it begin to influence it. It doesn't happen usually instantly. It's kind of like you're picking up like dust. It's kind of hovering around you. A clear example that I have found is that other people detect it first. The people who are in the process of possession never know it. Even after it's been cleared, they don't know it. They only know what other people have told them. But other people can sense it, and they just don't know what to do about it.
Father Martin said something interesting to me that I will never forget. He said he knew that there were a lot of what he called perfectly possessed people in the world. He could literally spot them as he would walk down the streets of New York City. These would be people, he said, who literally have either consciously or subconsciously made a deal with the devil. Actually made a deal with the devil. Now, that doesn't have to mean you sit down and sort of have a little talk with the devil, but it means that in some way, your mind has said, look, I'll do whatever it is. If there's a devil, I want to be successful. I want this, I want that, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get it. Simple as that.
Yeah, I believe that is true. There is this inner thought process that goes on where you almost become schizophrenic, where you're talking to somebody. And this is why you'll see, on television when they're doing, court TV or something, where they talk about someone who's done these violent murders, and they'll say, or a mother, kills her children. And, we're all in shock and say, how could that be possible? And she says, well, God told me to do it. And that God told me to do it is another example of this energy. Now, possession typically is an outside influence coming in, but there's also another type of possession, and that's when the actual soul that's in a body has had previous incarnations of what we might call just pure evil, pure negativity. And as that person grows up and becomes older, that just pours out of that person's own consciousness, and then in turn it draws more from the borderland or the astral realm into themselves. So there's two things that are going on. People who have souls that are kind of pure, who try to do the right thing, they may not be religious even, they're kind of like self-protected. And this is why you'll see, you know, some of the most incredible healers that I've ever seen happen to be people of faith. You know, they could be rabbis or priests or anybody who has a strong faith belief. And if that belief is strong enough, then they have the ability to rid possessions, such as Father Malachi, probably.
Yes. How are you? You said that 99% were not, but you have run into a few that were the real McCoy. How do you make that determination? How do you know?
I can usually tell immediately. People who work in the metaphysical field tend to develop the ability to see auras, and so when someone comes in, you can see it. In the aura, you can see this, the etheric, and you can see what's going on with it. You can see patterns and colors. Sometimes you can even see forms and shapes. So, you know, it's the ones that are in between where you can't quite tell. It looks like something's building, but it's not there yet. When someone is full-on possessed, it's very easy to see it. And then from that perspective, you can then begin to, you know, to deal with it.
Have you, and by the way, have you attempted to deal with anybody who really was possessed?
I have had some experiences. What I've tried to do is to find out from the family what their belief system is, if they have a belief system. Mm-hmm. And then I try to get them to work with their local minister or some therapists. Now there are a group of therapists around this country who specialize in this. They tend to be very quiet and not very visible, but they do it. And so I try to direct them that way. One of the things that I have done is I've actually, if it's a single entity, you know, and you try to communicate with that entity, they're usually not willing to do that. If it's a group entity, I find that they're very willing to talk. You know, very willing to communicate. You know, they go through the, you know, it's like a Rosemary's Baby deal, you know, where the language is off the wall, the conversations, the different languages that come out of an individual. Right. I mean, the things you see in the movies happens, but it's so rare. You know, it's not a common occurrence, though I believe in the next couple of years we're going to see more and more of it. I think we're heading for an epidemic of it, in fact.
All right, that's what I was wondering. You two, you're beginning to use words like epidemic.
I think so. I think that, you know, the Earth itself is going through this incredible change, and everything on it. You know, it's like you were saying earlier that, you know, what happens on the sun affects everybody on Earth, and so this energy, you know, and the things that feed all this negative energy is the quality of the air, believe it or not, the pollution. You know, positive ions is another breeding ground for things to go on. So as we, you know, as the society continues to fall as it has been in consciousness, it opens up other realms to come in and to make their presence known. And so, you know, as I watch the Middle East, which I think is a good model to look at for overall possession. It's like watching a collective possession going on. And as that grows, we now will see changes in every place on this planet. We're going to see a lot more school problems this year and next year in particular. It's just going to grow exponentially.
Well, we've planted ourselves squarely in the Middle East now, as you well know. How do you feel about what we're doing now in Iraq? And possibly, if I'm reading it correctly, it looks like we're about to be involved with Iran as well.
Well, you know, just look at my notes from when we chatted a long time ago. It was that one of the key visions that I had was the Palestinian issue. That if, you know, what I've been saying for, you know, 20 years, if they get their state, it will indicate the consciousness has changed. The Palestinians get their state, things would change, and things would kind of settle down. You know, but we're really looking at millennium of conflict. You know, you're in a point now where the Palestinians, their children, if you look at how they're being raised, the footage that's coming out of there now, you know, we're raising you know, it's like the rebirth of the Nazi era in the youth movement. So this the hatred is so strong now that it can only go one way, in my opinion. And I'd like to be an optimist. I'd like to feel that somehow diplomatically we're going to solve this problem, but we're not. In my recent visions, in January, my predictions for the year, I talked about Iran, and that, unfortunately, the thing I see there is so shocking that, I hesitate to even talk about it.
No, please do.
But I really do see nuclear exchange there, but not the kind of nuclear exchange that we, you might draw your images to of seeing the large mushroom clouds wiping out a whole country. I see these more as, like, I guess you would call them tactical nukes. I'm not familiar enough with them to talk, specific about it. But one of the visions I've had was that I saw a group of commandos being dropped off in a helicopter, and I could see the insignia, which was a star, the Star of David, on this helicopter. And it's nighttime, and I see these group of commandos, and I don't know, they're a couple dozen, I think. And then that vision changes, and I see another image, and I see a map of the Middle East, and I clearly recognize the border of Iraq and Iran.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I see is these kind of cruise missiles hugging the ground, and they're coming from multiple directions. They're not all coming from, like, one ship or one airplane, but multiple directions. And I watch this vision as these missiles go to their targets, and many of them are in isolated areas. They're not in, things that you see visibly above ground, but they then go up high. I don't know how high, but it's very high, and then turn around and go straight down. And as they go straight down, I see them hit the ground, and then I see this mushroom cloud coming up. And so it's not a huge cloud, but it's clearly some kind of a nuclear device. And I see five or six of those happening at the same time.
And you see these detonating on the border area of Iraq?
Well, they're in Iran.
They're in Iran. I can see that happening.
But they're in different locations. It's not like it's one community or one city. They're in different places. There's like four or five different places that are separated by hundreds of miles between them. And so I don't understand that at all. I look at a map, and nobody really knows where these facilities are, if they have facilities like that. I mean, I know they don't.
Well, if anybody knows, it would be Israel.
Yeah, but I see Israel as doing this. And then the next vision I saw was these carriers, U.S. carriers, and I see planes just in the air constantly, landing and taking off, landing and taking off. But I don't see them doing anything. That was another surprising part of this. I just saw massive amounts of planes in the air, U.S. planes, going over and coming back. I mean, sortie after sortie after sortie, but never firing. And I clearly did not understand that part of the vision. And then that vision ended.
Isn't that odd? I'm trying to think what would propel us to do something of that sort, or do you think you just saw part of the vision and you didn't see the part where they were actually doing something?
Yeah, I did not see part. The vision has occurred at least three times, and it takes three times before I talk about anything.
Right.
And it's always the same, so it hasn't changed. The colors are always the same. And the only thing I can possibly conclude is that Israel is doing this, but somehow we are providing some kind of backup support, just to control airspace or something. I don't know. I mean, but it clearly is an attack, and I think that we're heading in that direction. And
Well, Iran is clearly headed in the direction of nuclear weapons. I think we, that's pretty common knowledge. And I don't think that Israel ultimately is going to allow that to occur. And I doubt that we're going to allow that to occur. We're making all kinds of noises now about Iran. So we could be just around the corner from that. Do your visions indicate any finality to whatever it is that happens, this conflict?
Well, the visions that I've seen, most of them go back, 10 years or more. And I always saw these two patterns of the Middle East. One pattern of the Middle East, I just saw it as just burning desert, like almost like it was just wiped clean. And the other vision that I saw was that it was that things were quiet, and things were kind of prosperous, and there was commerce going on, and things of that nature. So those two visions were always oscillating back and forth, and I came to understand that it was that the future was really tied into the free choice that would happen dealing with the Palestinian issue. That somehow, in consciousness, that was a key focal point in my visions. That had to be resolved. If that was resolved, then things would be lessened. But at the same time, I was seeing, the turmoil. I was also seeing volcanoes going off and eruptions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I concluded at that time that this holy war that's been going on is not going to be, short term. It's been going on for years, but it's going to continue on, and it's going to continue to build. But the thing that may stop it is earth changes.
And that would stop just about everything, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I want not to believe that it could be so, and I want to believe when our president, for example, says that it's not all of Islam. Clearly, it's not all of Islam that is radicalized. But I have this concern that a lot more radicalization has occurred than the general public is aware of. The administration likes to characterize it as a very small group of very radical people. I have this awful feeling that it's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. And what's happening is that videotapes, thanks to these small, cameras that fit in your hand or even in your pocket, we're getting a lot of videotapes that are coming out of the Middle East. And anytime a society starts to fall apart and decline, we can see it in their youth. We can see it in schools and education.
Right.
And if you take a society and the general theme of the society of your children is to promote violence against this enemy,
right,
and that you are going to that's your duty to even die for it. And we're talking about kids that are 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. When you take a society and do that to that, it can only go one way. I mean, it would take generations to modify the things that are going on now. And typically, that goes the way of Nazi Germany. It goes the way where there's total devastation, and then a rebuilding occurs. We look at Japan and Germany. We see democracy. We see thriving communities. We see people getting along, but not before there was this cleansing. And I think that the Middle East is going to go through a cleansing.
Well, the difference, of course, between then and now is then there was regional destruction. Now, atomic weapons offer us the possibility of the virtual end of the world as we know it, if it gets out of hand.
Yeah, my visions have never shown that part of it. I've always, I've only seen very limited things. I mean, extremely limited things. Like, I'm asked a lot, do you see a dirty nuclear bomb for the U.S.? And my answer is no, I haven't seen that.
That's good to hear. That's actually good news. Gordon, hold it right there. We're at the top of the hour. My guest is Gordon Michael Scallion, and we're talking about the Middle East, and we're talking about possession. Maybe they're the same thing.